Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about how to stop being a workaholic. I suppose I should start with a confession, which is that I'm a bit of a workaholic. And that's something that I've been working on myself lately, because it's a problem. Workaholic is a problem. Have you ever stopped to notice that there's something deeply wrong going on inside of you if you're a workaholic? Well, whether you realize it or not, there is. And what I want to do in this episode is to help you to gain some deep insight into where your workaholism is stemming from. What's the root of it? And it turns out that the root can be very, very deep. Also very fascinating. Also very eye-opening. And the cool part is that once you get a handle on it, then it can open up a whole new world and a whole new life for you. A whole new chapter in your life. So this can be powerful. But first, how do we tell if you're a workaholic? Well, here are some basic guidelines that I just kind of drew up for myself. If you work over 8 hours a day and over 40 hours a week, then you just might be a workaholic. If you take your work very personally, to the point where it can make you sad or angry at what's going on with your work, you might be a workaholic. If you work weekends, you might be a workaholic. If you work holidays, you might be a workaholic. And if you don't take vacations, you might be a workaholic. And there's a whole slew of problems with this, but as workaholics, we're very good at disguising what these problems are. So let me just bring a few of them to light for you. The first most obvious problem is that you're agitated and that basically you create needless suffering for yourself on a day-to-day basis with your work because you take it so personally and because your identity is so tied up in your work. So there's that kind of low-level stress that you create that's not necessary, but it's there. You don't produce your best work, even though you tell yourself that you do. And even though it appears that when you crunch and you work your ass off for a few weeks or a few months, that you get a lot of stuff done. But that's not your best work, really. Because in those high-pressure situations, sometimes you can be creative, but generally, your creativity suffers from overwork. It doesn't get better, it suffers. And also, there's burnout. You tend to crash and burn. Like sometimes you're kicking ass and everything's going great and you're doing a lot in your life and you're accomplishing a lot and you're feeling really good about that because you're outperforming everyone else. But in the long run, you crash and burn because you can't sustain that. And so your work is in starts and stops, right? You have these great spurts of growth, but then stuff crashes. And in the very long term, you know, over the course of years, what might happen is you just get fed up with the stuff that you're working on to the point where you have to move on to something else, or you just give up or quit on it. That can be a problem. There's also the health problems of overworking. And now these you're very good at concealing and denying and sweeping under the rug, but they're there and they're creeping up on you and they're only going to get worse as you continue with your workaholism. Those are kind of like the ordinary problems. But then what I consider the deepest problems are as follows. These are like the real shames of being a workaholic. Is that you don't get to self-actualize. Not really. Because what you are is you're just this obsessive robot who's going to work. You're really a slave of your work. There's facets of your life outside of work that you're neglecting. And mostly, it's your own personal development, your own psychological development, right? You're stifling yourself there because you're so obsessed with the work and you don't give yourself the time that's necessary to self-actualize. And so really you miss out on some of the most greatest aspects of life. And you ultimately limit yourself and what you can accomplish in your life. You kind of put a glass ceiling on your own inner development, and therefore the potential that you're able to express and actually realize in the world. You're never going to be able to grow your consciousness to its full potential as a workaholic, which is a shame. And also what's a shame is that you miss out on the beauty of life because you're not stopping to smell the roses. And so what you're going to realize on your deathbed is that really your whole life was this string of attempts to work your way into fulfillment, and it's never really worked. And it was just project after project after project after project after project, and then you're dead. And when that happens, when you're there, when you're approaching it, you're going to have a lot of regrets for not stopping to smell the roses and to appreciate all the different aspects of life that exist outside the domain of work. That's just one domain of many domains, which include relationships and family and being out in nature and all this other stuff, right? So you're living a very unbalanced life, and ultimately that's going to cost you. So you're probably aware of some of that stuff already, but let's get to the core issue. What's the core issue behind the workaholism? Well, really, it's that deep down you believe that you're worthless or you're incomplete. It's really that basic. Here's a thought experiment for you. Just try this on for a minute. Imagine that I forced you and passed a law that you cannot work anymore in your entire life ever again. How would that make you feel? Picture that for yourself right now. Imagine it. What if you couldn't work at all for the rest of your life? How would that make you feel? Be honest. Would it make you bummed out, depressed, anxious, outraged? How would you feel? If it's any of those, and it probably is if you're a workaholic, then why do you think that's going on? Do you see that there's something like deep inside of you that's out of whack for that kind of emotional reaction to be happening, to never working again? See, the problem here is that your self-image, your very identity at its core, is tied up with your work. You take pride in outworking other people. You compare yourself to other people. You kind of secretly gloat that you're better than others, more productive than others, more efficient than others, more creative than others. But also, the interesting mechanism that you set up is that you set up this condition in your mind without knowing it that you can feel fulfillment or peace only after having worked X amount, you know, huge amount for you. It's a huge amount. So what happens is that you're working on a project for a couple of years, and then finally you get to the point where you've reached that barrier that you set for yourself. And when you reach that threshold, finally the project is, complete or released, and you get it out there to the world, and then it's like, that's nice. And you get that sense of peace and relief and fulfillment from all that work you did, right? And that feels so good. It's like a drug. And that's the emotion that you were after that whole time for years. But see, it took you a couple of years just to get to that peace feeling. But then what happens? That only lasts for a week, maybe a couple days, maybe not even a full day that lasts. And then what your mind does is it immediately jumps onto the next thing, because there's always a new project around the corner. And then you do that one for a few years, and then there's the next project around the corner. And you do that one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And all you've really got is you've got these couple of days in between these projects where you actually do feel at peace and you feel satisfied and fulfilled. But the rest of the time, not really. And then you rationalize this to yourself by saying, well, I got to keep myself motivated. What's wrong with that? Got to keep myself motivated, right? Can't be complacent. But see, there's something wrong with that whole scheme. It's kind of like it's rigged against your own happiness. And also the way you might be tricking yourself, you might say, well, Leo, there's this dream project I have. If I can just complete that one, all these little projects, yeah, they were kind of like important, but I'm working toward that one dream project. And when I complete that, that's when my life will finally all be complete. That's when I'll finally feel like, oh, okay, I'm good. I'm done now. But you know what? That's never going to happen. Newsflash, that's never going to happen. Why? Because deep down, the problem is that you feel worthless and incomplete. And that's not going to be solved with an external accomplishment. Not going to be solved with an external accomplishment. See, what you're not realizing is that actually you're caught in a mechanism that's, man, it's so beyond your awareness right now, this mechanism. You're like a mouse spinning in a wheel chasing after some cheese, thinking that that cheese will be yours if you just run fast enough long enough. But actually, if you zoom out and you take a third-person look at the situation, what you're going to realize is that, oh, that mouse, no matter how long he runs and how hard he tries, he's never going to get the cheese. Never will. The closest he'll get is he'll get his nose a little bit close to it so he can kind of sniff it, and that will feel nice. He just kind of sniffs it. But he's never going to get the cheese because the mechanism is not designed for him to get the cheese. You see this? What you're doing on a very fundamental level is that you're working to avoid the present moment. You're not comfortable just being in the present moment. So you feel like you need to be moving, on the move, like a shark, right? Shark doesn't like to stand still. He needs to get oxygen in his gills from the water as it's moving through. Otherwise, it starts to suffocate and die. Well, that's basically you, right? And you rationalize it yourself saying, well, whatever your rationalization is, you know, like, oh, well, I have work to do, and, you know, life needs to be worked on to be meaningful and significant, whatever your justifications are. But it's something along the lines of, I have to work my ass off in order to create value so that I can feel worthwhile and complete inside. That's essentially what you're saying to yourself without realizing it. Because as soon as you stop working, have you noticed this? If you stop working for a sufficiently long period of time, for maybe a week or a month, what happens is you actually start an existential crisis. An existential crisis for you, because actually your very identity and your existence as a being, as an entity, what you feel you are, is you feel like you're this thing that needs to generate worth and value. Otherwise, your life is meaningless. And so therefore, sitting still is like the worst form of torture for you. You don't like to sit still. You like to run around and do stuff. You like activity. But have you ever wondered what all this activity is distracting you from seeing? See, you think that this activity is you creating this activity? What if this activity was a mechanism that was designed to prevent you from seeing something that's very flawed at the center of your existence, that you don't want to look at and that you don't want to admit? And what that is a very interesting thing. You're using your work as a defense mechanism from seeing what I call the void. The void. The void, you can call it the truth of no self. And basically what this means, and this is an existential fact of everyone's existence, is that there's no such thing as worth. Worth does not exist. No matter how hard you work, you cannot create worth. You can create illusions of worth, but not actual worth. Nor does value exist. No matter how hard you work, you cannot make yourself any more valuable than any other human being, or any more worthwhile than any other human being. Right? And this void also means that meaning does not exist in life. The meanings you attach to life and to all the work you do, those are illusions. Those aren't real. And the purpose that you generate in your life is also an illusion. It's not real either. That's like a fiction, a fairy tale in your mind. And ultimately, all this boils back down to the ultimate truth of your psyche, which is that you as a personal entity inside the head, there's no entity in there. There's no you in there. There's no you. That's the truth that enlightenment reveals to us. You know, I'm not going to go in too much detail here because it's quite complex and technical, and there's a lot of traps that people fall into with this truth. If you're interested in that, go check out my enlightenment videos. I have many of them. But what I will say here is that I want to focus on this issue of worth, because this thing about worth is very profound. See, in your mind, you frame it as, well, if I accomplish this great project, like if I write that amazing novel, or if I create that amazing business, or if I create this amazing piece of software, or if I accomplish this amazing research project, then it's like, finally, I'll be like, yeah, I can relax. Finally, like, I've proven myself to the world. And for you, that might be a dollar amount. It might be a certain award that you want, like the Nobel Prize. It might be a certain position in your university or in your business. It might be, taking your business IPO or selling out your business, or it might be inventing some new product or whatever. Maybe getting your face plastered on a magazine so that people know you. Getting recognized in some way, basically, for your work. And you might say to yourself, well, you know, Leo, I don't really want to be a celebrity, but I do want to be recognized for my work. What's wrong with that? Like, I want to do great work and just be recognized for being someone who made a difference in the world, you know, leave a legacy behind. Isn't that good? What's wrong with that? And yeah, that's miles better than just wanting to be a celebrity for fame's sake, because that's real shallow. So, you're a step up from that. But the thing you're not facing is that no matter how much work you do and what you accomplish in life, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it means nothing. Do you understand this? It means nothing. Because in the end, you will die, and everything you accomplish will eventually get destroyed. So this is just a fact. You don't like to look at it, because when you look at it, all of a sudden it kind of robs you of motivation to do anything in life. And that's understandable, so we kind of ignore that part, and we just kind of work towards something and say, well, it's going to be meaningful anyways, you know, I might as well do it. What else am I going to do with my life? And that can all seem very innocent, but see, do you really believe that you're incomplete inside, if you're very honest? I mean, I can't tell you if you are or you're not, because, you know, some people are and some people are not. It just depends. What was your childhood like? What are you really motivated to do with your work? Is it really just because you're expressing yourself and it's just like this very positive, creative expression? Or is it because you feel like there's a void or a gap inside of you that you're trying to avoid looking at? And you feel like you're worthless and you're not complete if somehow you're not doing this work. See, they might seem kind of very similar on the surface, like they both produce the same kind of result in that the person works in both cases really hard. But these are very different motivations. And what I'm telling you here, don't get this wrong, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't be working, or that you should become a bum or lazy slob or go work at McDonald's, something like that. Be ambitious in life if you want to. I'm just telling you, be aware of the realities that drive you, so that at least they're driving you consciously. At least you understand what's going on inside you, because right now you probably have no idea. What's really happening here is that you're refusing to accept that life is meaningless. You don't want to do this. You don't like this. To you, this is threatening. This is threatening to your ego because your whole ego, the way that it works is basically, it's not there. It's a blank spot. It's a gap. It's a void. It's nothing. That's what it really is. But it likes to pretend like it's something. So basically what it is, it's kind of like the invisible man. For the invisible man to see himself, what does he do? He needs to put on clothing. Otherwise, he doesn't even feel that he's real. And that's the thing you're resisting, is you're resisting looking at the mirror and seeing a blank nothingness, something that has no worth and no value. That's what you're resisting. And so what you're busy doing is you're busy putting on all these garments, jackets and socks and pants and hats and sunglasses and lipstick and all this stuff. You're putting all this stuff on so that you can feel more alive and more real. But in fact, there's nothing there. And so what I suggest to you is that instead of playing that whole game, why don't we just take off all the garments and just stare ourselves in the mirror as we are and get comfortable with it? Because the first time you do this, it'll scare the shit out of you. Right? Because this whole mechanism has been designed to keep you on the wheel, spinning your wheels and avoiding the void. But counterintuitively, what you should do instead is you should turn around and look at the void. Enter the void, and then what you'll have is you'll have liberation. You will no longer be a slave to your workaholism. And what you'll do is you'll actually embrace this idea that life is meaningless. And what a lot of people get wrong when I say that is that they say, well, if life is meaningless, then how come you're shooting all these videos? And isn't that a point to be depressed about? I mean, that's so nihilistic and sad and depressing. But no, not at all. The fact that life is meaningless is just a fact of life, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful truth because it means nothing. You see that? Don't make the mistake, which many people make, of turning life is meaningless into a meaning of its own and giving it a negative spin. That's not what I'm telling you to do here. I'm just asking you to be very open and self-honest about this whole thing. Look into this idea of worth. Because you somehow feel that, you know, let's say hypothetically we take a bum on the street, we take a mangy, dirty old dog, those two, and then we take you as a third comparison. Well, we got these three comparisons: a bum on the street, a mangy old dog, and you. And you, maybe you're like a, you know, a business type of person. You like to go out there and earn lots of money and build companies and stuff and have a good, put yourself together nicely and drive a nice car and dress very professional. You do all this thing, but you realize that that's a game, right? You realize that even though you feel like you have more worth than that mangy dog and that bum on the street, actually, can you see that you have exactly the same amount of worth as both those things? You have no more worth than those bum and dog. Why is that? Well, because what is worth? Have you actually looked into it? Have you actually contemplated what worth is? I encourage you to do that as an exercise for yourself. Perhaps after this video is done, you can take a look at that. But what you'll come to realize is that worth is not actually in this world. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. It's a fantasy that you create. So you tell yourself you're worthful, and you tell yourself that that dog or that bum is worthless, and it becomes true for you. But that's just like stories in your mind, right? Stories in your mind. It's part of the illusion. If you look into it, it's like worth. I mean, why would anything in life be worth anything more than anything else? Only within a social system. Like, yes, if you go and you buy a Toyota, it's going to be worth less than a BMW at the dealership. So we say it has less worth or less value. And so it's like, well, I want the BMW, I don't want the Toyota. But that's just like a social fiction that we create. That's a social fiction. In fact, if you look at an object, it has no worth on it. Take an object, take an apple from your kitchen, and just sit with it as an exercise and look at it. And ask yourself, where is the worth in this apple? Am I worth more than the apple, or am I worth less than the apple? Do it. What you'll realize is that this whole thing of worth is just like a sham. There's no such thing as worth. So because of this, you know, setting up all these obstacles for how you can earn and increase your own personal worth, this is not necessary. So what I invite you to do is to kind of look into that real deeply, drop all that stuff. Drop it. And then, if you still have the desire to do work, go do work. What you'll find is that you probably will have the desire. And what's going to happen is that you just shed the negative reasons for doing work and you keep the positive ones. What might also be scary is that you might discover that actually, if you do this process, you discover like, oh shit, I've been working for the last 30 years of my life trying to fill this void inside me, which is not something that's ever going to fill because that void is in you. That void is there. You can't run away from it. You can only just turn your back on it for a bit. But it's always right there chasing. It's like your shadow. You can't run away from your shadow. Right? And you might discover that, oh shit, man, I've been doing this my whole life. And it's like, man, maybe I should just stop working for a while and just see what comes up. See where my life takes me. Maybe I should focus my energy now on family or on my health or on traveling or whatever. Or maybe not. Who knows? You know, usually this feeling of worthlessness, it comes from your childhood somewhere. So maybe you're trying to prove yourself to your dad because your dad didn't approve of you. Or maybe you're trying to prove yourself to your first grade elementary school teacher because she didn't approve of you, and you're still trying to live that up. You know, these very childish, these things seem so childish, but, you know, this is how our mind tends to work, is that it latches on to issues from the past and kind of just creates drives around them. So you need to kind of do some introspection, look very back in your life, far back in your life, and ask yourself, where could this feeling of worthlessness be coming from? Why do I feel incomplete? And why do I believe that launching some business or some product will somehow make me complete? I mean, this whole idea of incompleteness, you're already completely complete. You're complete right now. The problem is that you're not acknowledging it. And so what you do is you set up these circumstances or these kind of rules in your own mind that say something like, well, I'll be complete when I do blank. It's like, Leo, I'll be complete when I do that project. I'll be complete when I publish my novel. I'll be complete when I sell my screenplay. No, you won't, because there's no such thing as completeness. You're already fully complete. All you're doing is just playing games with yourself. So why don't we just cut all that bullshit out, and then you can feel complete right now, and then being complete, you can go do whatever the fuck you want. That's the deep root of the solution. And ultimately, go try to discover no self. If you want to really feel complete, what you need to do is you need to go get enlightened. That's the only way, because that's the only method by which you can face that void and actually realize that void and realize the beauty of that void. Embrace it and become it, because you're already it. You just don't realize it yet. You need to raise your awareness to that point. So anyways, here's some solutions, real quick solutions for how to deal with this workaholism problem. So firstly, acknowledge yourself that you're running away from the void. And to do this, you need to start to look inside yourself. You do some contemplation on this. You know, ask yourself, why do I feel worthless? Why do I feel incomplete? What's at the very root of it? Why do I really feel like I need to be working all the time to feel happy in life? Why? Like, why? It makes no sense. Because like a dog doesn't have this problem, right? That mangy dog on the street corner, he's not having an existential crisis about the fact that he's not working. He's just sitting there, he's enjoying life, you know, maybe he's hungry, maybe he's cold or whatever, and those are problems for him. But he's not having an existential crisis. He doesn't feel worthless. A dog doesn't feel worthless. Isn't that interesting? Really powerful tool for you is meditation. I recommend you start meditating daily for 20 minutes at the very least. Check out my How to Meditate video and other videos which I talk about meditation. Also check out my enlightenment videos where I talk about how to do a looking process into how to become enlightened. That video is called How to Become Enlightened. Take a look at those. Those two processes can be very powerful for you. I also recommend that you start practicing mindfulness, especially on your habit of being a workaholic. So you need to start becoming mindful, which just means become aware of what you're doing in the moment that you're doing it. So when you're in the grip of that urge to work and to satisfy yourself with worth, notice that that's there, that that drive is there and that mechanism is there. See the mouse running in the wheel. See that as being you. All right. So apply your awareness to the situation as it's happening, because it's one thing to do it right now with me, but we're kind of looking back in your past. I want you to become aware of it as you're doing it, because you do it in a mechanical, robotic kind of way. Also, very practically, work less. Stop working so much. Slow your pace of work down. It's okay. You don't need to be accomplishing all this shit in your life to be happy. And in fact, it won't work. It's going to backfire on you. So maybe instead of working, 6 or 7 days a week, maybe you should cut it back to 5 days a week and even take the end of Friday afternoon, take that off and go to the beach, go to the park, go to the zoo, go hang out with your kids, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, that sort of thing. Slow down the pace of your work too. Do you really need to accomplish that project by the end of this year? Would it really kill you if you accomplished it in 2 years instead of 1 year? Does it really make a difference in the grand scheme of things? Probably not. So maybe adjust your schedule a bit there and take more vacations. The kind of vacations where you're not working on vacation or checking your emails or any of that kind of nonsense, but like real full-blown vacations. Take a week here, take a week there. One thing that I'm starting to do is I'm taking more retreats, take a meditation retreat, take a seminar, do something to actualize yourself, right? Discover the aspects of life that you've kind of ignored and denied and hidden. Discover the spiritual aspects of life. Discover the romantic aspects of life. Discover natural beauty, the natural beauty of life. Discover art. Discover music. Discover culture. Discover travel. Discover great sex. Discover cooking. Whatever. There's a lot of cool stuff to discover. So those are your solutions. I'm done. I'm signing off. Go ahead. Post me your comments down below. Please click the like button on this video. Share it with a friend. And lastly, come sign up to my newsletter right here. Free newsletter at actualize.org, where I release new videos on self-actualization topics every single week. You can also go there and get audio versions. Also, actualize.org is now available on iTunes. So go ahead and check us out on iTunes. You can get these videos and just download them to your mobile device. That might be handy for you when you're at the gym or whatever. And then you can be moving and expanding yourself, growing yourself beyond your current limited psychology. That's what actualize.org is about, is to help expand your psychology, because, man, if there's one thing that you can really expand in this world, it's your psychology. You can take it from where it is now at like a 1 to 10,000. 10,000. You can really take it to extraordinary heights. And that's one of the most satisfying things in life, is growing and seeing and looking at your own potential in life and looking at who you really are in this life. It's very rewarding. I don't want you to miss out on that. So sign up. I'll see you soon.